This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I don't think Eli believes that he can outrun Chase anymore. Like, he doesn't have the speed when the track gets deep and all that. But it is Unadilla. I think Chase is willing to look at the lights, people. He willing to go night-night to wake up to the lights. And Eli ain't. Eli want to keep his vision clear. Hey guys, what's up? You know who it is, your boy James Stewart. And you know where we at, baby? We at the Rewind. Should I say that again? We at the Rewind because we've been off for a couple weeks. Been at Loretta's, taking a little vacation time, but we're back at round 9 up at Unadilla where, again, just like it was a few weeks ago, we have somebody getting a neck burn and then maybe another far East Coast neck burn. We're going to have to see if Siri can, you know, figure that, let that language out. But nonetheless, it was a big weekend and it was good to be back. So let's get into it. Round 9 from Unadilla, New York, Lucas Oil Motocross. Let's get into it, people. We had a lot of guys coming back this weekend at Unadilla. You know, I always get excited because it's at the Loretta's and you have the rookies, the amateur kids coming up, moving up. Frisco, whatever, like sounds like a good steak restaurant. Which, by the way, if you watch the podcast, I did tell you he was a top 5 guy. And everybody's like, oh, what? What? I told you. Now, boy couldn't make it 2 motos. He was tired. But, I mean, he was just racing all last week at Loretta's. So, anyway, so you always have the rookies coming up. And then in 450 class, if guys are coming back and they want to race the last 4 outdoors, like, this is another stop. And so you have Ferrandis. You have my brother, Wilson. You had a couple guys coming back from injuries. And guys had a chance to have a relaxed weekend and then have some regroup to just knock out the last 4 races. So it's always exciting to have a little bit of break. And usually around this time, it's that 2-week break, you know, coming into the season for the final stretch. So we have big number 1 plate, Blue Ferrandis, comes back, pulls a whole shot. Kid actually wrote good. Like, he actually wrote good. And I think when you start breaking down and you start looking at the way this track was set up, especially this weekend, it was one of those ones that you couldn't override, kind of like Washougal. But Unadilla is, this track was different than normal. Unadilla was really hard, like it was a lot drier. And they had more, I would say, the choppy acceleration bump, braking bumps. It was super dry and choppy. And, you know, there was somebody brought up some soil stuff. I think that was the only part of the track after that big tabletop that looked the same to me. But it was definitely a lot different than Unadilla. And I think it, which made it more slippery. So with Ferrandis coming back, it was actually probably pretty good for him because he was one of those ones, like I said, you couldn't override it. So guys couldn't just, you know, blow past you. Even though Chase blew past Eli at one point, you still saw a guy that was in control. The only time that people overrode the track was Jet Lawrence and then Chase at one point. They were overriding it and then they almost crashed and did crash. But nonetheless, I think if you got a start, you can be up front. Where I think the second moto, Ferrandis didn't get a start and he stayed where he was. So I think the track lended to like a technical rider, which Ferrandis is. Ken Roczen likes his track, Chase, and even Eli. So when you look at the guys that was up front in the first moto, for sure, they are technical, smooth guys, you know, being able to lean and you know, the way they ride motorcycles are real fluid. So it's not surprising Ken likes this track. Not surprising Dylan was doing good. Not surprising that Chase did even better than all of them. So I thought the track was unique, different, and it definitely made it favor certain type of guys and brought out some of the issues in other guys. So overall, it was pretty good. If you watch like the line selections, when they had that battle box on there, if you notice, Eli was charging straight up and down into everything. Everything, he was straight up and down. Like, so the sections that he was okay was once you go past the mechanics, the finish line, you know, he gets in that, they hit that little drop down. Eli was charging down the inside, catching that inside rut. And then the next corner going into that tabletop where the kid crashed in the lights class, inside, like he was, everything was straight up and down. So any part of the track that, he was able to like run straight up and down, like he would actually chase, catch Chase. Chase was just flowing around the racetrack. Well, once you got to the gravity cavity and where he actually passed Eli the first moto, from that point on, like you can see like it, a lot of that section was set up. You know, you had to be on the outside here to catch the inside over here. It was all like a slot car track, like you would race NASCAR or IndyCar. So Eli couldn't do that. So his straight up and down would be fast going in a straight line, but what it would end up messing, it would mess him up for the next corner. And then that would mess him up for the next corner. And so what you saw was like once he got to the right before the mechanics area, Chase was going down the inside and catching that inside rut right when you pass the mechanics area. And what that was doing, inside put him on the outside to allow him to catch the inside to the next corner. And so he was making the tracks where it was like he could just momentum, like he can use his momentum around there. But you had to be comfortable on a lean, where Eli mechanics area, he was going outside. Because it was straight, it was safe. He would catch the outside rut, but it was putting him on the inside for that next corner. And if you just saw, like he was going in like this, Chase was going in like that. And so that next little like section right before you drop down in the gravity cavity and hit the finish line, just look how much time he lost right there. Like that was your race. So no matter what Eli did, he would make that time back up the whole track and then get to that same spot and lose all that time again. So if you were just calculating as a rider, you would be like, I have to be way closer and I would have to pass him before I get to this section, because if I'm close, he's going to win the race anyway. So it's demoralizing. So I think what you saw was Eli realized Chase was coming. He let him pass. He tried pushing Chase into a mistake. And they were talking about in the coverage that Eli was following his lines. Eli was not following his lines. Like Eli knew where he was faster at. And I'm sure he had all the team members telling him between motos, Chase is doing this. Eli wasn't doing that anyway, because he knew doing that would put him in a situation that he don't want to be in. And that's leaned in on the tires, and he don't want to crash. So he wasn't following his line. He was just trying to push Chase into a mistake to crash. And maybe, hopefully, he can get past them before in one of these sections that he was quicker. But it didn't happen. And, you know, he did that for a couple laps, and that was it. So you want a hot take? I don't think Eli Tomac could beat Chase straight up the rest of the year. No, actually, I would put that on a lot. If they race straight up and down like they have and Chase doesn't crash, Eli won't beat him again. I don't care, beast mode, any of that. He won't beat him again unless Chase crashed. So Eli's going to lose his title unless Chase throws it away, from what I see. So I hope I'm wrong, because I think it makes it better racing. But what I saw from number three was a guy that like is willing to ride at the level that is going to go all the way up until like he might crash. And Chase is going to ride to the level like that he will crash. And I think there's only six motos left. He has the light at the end of the tunnel. And like Eli's won the championship. He's playing with house money. He wasn't even supposed to finish this race. Remember his knee was hurting people? And I think when he won all those 8 motos or 9 motos, whatever it was, and he didn't break Chase, and Chase did a great job, and this is on Chase, like he finished second and all that stuff, he didn't break him. He let him stay close enough. He let him get that Washougal moto, which was a big deal. And then he came in here, and the guy that raced him the second moto, the first moto, I think, the first moto, Eli was definitely struggling with bike, and he was struggling with bike the second moto. And I think Chase getting a bad start, Eli up front. Chase was trying to override to catch Eli because he thought he was just going to pull away. Well, when he was making all those mistakes and Eli didn't pull away, as a rider, that gives you a lot of confidence, because you're like, dude, I screwed up everywhere. And like, this guy's still right here. Chase settled down, just figured like, well, if I can just ride and not make mistakes. I'm going to catch him. He called Eli. Eli was like, yeah, whatever. I'll get him the second moto bike. It's not that good. The guy that came out second moto was on that guy's on a different level. And that guy, like I just said, he ain't going to, like, you won't beat him. Eli won't beat him again. Not like that. Because it was the first time I saw Chase, I realized that he was better than him. No matter what, he was better than him. And I think Eli knew it already going into it. And Eli was like in the situation where he knew, you know, with the whole setup, bike setup and all that, like he wasn't going to beat Chase. And for Eli's standpoint, I will give him some positives here and just say this was just an anomaly, because the only place he was slow was from the gravity cavity to the finish line right there. Like he was only slow there. To me, there was a lot more of the little details in this race that made this race a lot farther and made that gap between Chase and Eli bigger than what it, I guess, somewhat maybe the times to say it was. This was a big momentum swing for Chase. And I think the only saving grace for Eli is that, like, if I can sit here and point out every single section that, like, well, if you did this, that time gap would have been different. Eli knows that. So the fact that he didn't do that and like Chase was in front of him and he could have rode those lines. If somebody's going faster and you don't know why, you would just follow their lines. Eli still didn't do that. So that tells you that he knew where he was losing times and anybody still wasn't going to do it. So that tells me there's a reason why he didn't do that. And it's been what I've been saying all year long is the leans, the ability to lean on this bike. He's uncomfortable doing that. And I think Chase is to the point where, you know, like I said, he didn't break him when he won all those motos. And Chase is like, well, you know, I'm this close, so I'm going to die trying. Eli ain't going to do that. So it'd be a big telling sign next week at Butts Creek where I'll get to talk about it in real time. But we're going to see what's happening, because I just don't think, like, the mental battle, I don't think there's no, Tomac's not mentally, he doesn't have that mental edge over Chase. I think he believes Chase is he's strong, he's fast, and I don't think Eli believes that he can outrun Chase anymore. Like, he doesn't have the speed when the track gets deep and all that. But it is Unadilla. It is Washougal, and this track is the worst he looked. And it's the two tracks that I would say, like, if he was going to struggle on all the little areas that he's been struggling all year, these tracks would be where it is. And so only saving grace for him is that he's a three-time champ. He's Eli Tomac, and he always still has a chance. But I just think, like, the mind control over Debo might be gone. And so the biggest thing you can give somebody else is confidence, the belief that they can do it. And that's the problem, because you can believe all day long, but if they believe they can do something, and the guy that has more talent and is willing to die for it, that's your problem. So I always used to say perception. Well, this dude, in his perception, he thinks he's better. And if he thinks he's better, you got to go out and stop that. Well, I believe the only way you can stop that, if a guy's willing to die trying, then what you think you got to do. So we'll see. There's two guys that, right? Like, we're talking about two guys, because those two guys that's fighting for the championship, ironically, those two fastest guys in here. I mean, I think with Fernandez coming back, it was nice to see. But I don't think he's going to get in their way. And it was, he let Eli by. He also let Chase by, too, when they got close to him. So I think if they're battling and Fernandez is up front and he's not faster than those guys, I don't think anyone's going to battle him because they're that close. So I think we should just stick on the two guys right now with Eli and Chase and from what I saw. And there was one point in the first moto, I think it was, yeah, first moto, Chase passed Eli after that sky shot jump. And right before you go down to that, not gravity cavity, but that little, they used to call it screw you. I don't know what it is now. And Chase went around Eli on the outside. To me, that told me, like, enough. Like, I could have cut TV off right there. I could have cut TV off, because remember we were talking about Roczen at Hangtown when he let Chase go around him on the outside. The fact is, Eli let Chase go around the outside. Now, I know they almost cross jump, and maybe he was scared and he needed to change diapers. But when you when you're in this situation, I was like, you know, I knocked down my mama, grandma, whoever it is. The fact that Eli didn't run it in on Chase sent two messages. That one, like, he's uncomfortable. And I think that I would say die trying or whatnot, live for next week is his attitude, which is completely fine. Because at the end of the day, like, you got to be survival of the fittest. And so if maybe if you in it to win it, that's to be the way it is. But to me, what it said when I even reiterated on what happened with Roxen is that it wasn't what he did, is what it said to others, how he is. And to me, when I watched Chase, after that point, he wasn't worried about Eli. And I think Eli has always had that fear of like, hey, if he goes in beast mode, or like, man, like I don't want him in that zone. Like, I don't think anybody's ever been afraid of Eli, like a Barsha like type. So I don't think Chase always thought like he would take him out or anybody. And they know Eli's not Dirty Rotter, because he's not. And that's a good thing, whatever. I always said that Chase, there was only one person he kind of feared, was Anderson, because the way Anderson rides. Well, I think if you're getting down to this situation, then you have to start sparking some kind of fear, because the guy is clearly at this track, he's riding better than you. And I keep reiterating, like, the last race, you don't want to go in where you're 6 points up and you got to beat the guy, or 5 points, and you got to try to beat the guy at one of his favorite tracks at Paula. So to me, Chase likes his track, Eli struggles. So I thought it would have been a big message for Eli at least to run it in on him, like running in. And the fact that he didn't do that just told me that he's in that. I'll save it for next weekend, and again, which is fine. But it sent a message to Chase that, like, Chase doesn't, he's not afraid of him anymore. Like, he's not. And you saw that evident in the second moto, because Chase didn't make any mistakes. And when Chase went around him, he just passed him like no other. Like, Eli was on the back of him, da-da-da-da-da, doing all this stuff. He didn't care, you know? And I think that was a part of, like, Chase knew, like, dude, I'm going in outside. Like, I don't think he would. But if the fact is, if he would have, I think it would have changed the whole complexion of the race, because maybe he wouldn't have done anything, knocked him down. But the fact if he would have wrote it in would make Chase think differently of him every time he gets close to him, like, knowing that Eli for this championship will actually knock me down. He'll race me, and he didn't do that. So I just thought you saw a guy that knew he was faster, that wasn't afraid of him in the second moto, and he just clearly did his thing and beat him. And so this weekend was a lot about setup and how to ride this racetrack. And I think, you know, how you ride it, you got to ride it on the meat of the tire on here. Stop leaning. Don't do none of that stuff. And as I talked about before, you saw the line selections of Eli and Chase. You saw the line selections and how they were riding on different tracks. And they talked about on the coverage of, you know, Eli wanted to follow him and see his lines. Well, maybe for the first moto, he didn't recognize that Chase was doing his lines. But between that, they told him, Coker at Yamaha told him, this is where you're faster at. We got technology, people. We know what's going on. So he knew. But Eli didn't follow that line. He didn't follow that line. So that wasn't the case. He just knew he couldn't do it. And Chase could. And he was hoping that Chase crashed. And Chase didn't. And Chase won. And Eli didn't. And the end of the result was he's getting a neck burn. But we ain't there yet. And that was the case. But a little tidbit.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you know a guy confident, people, watch. Chase was there when he passed Elliott at first moto. And when I say it sent him a message when he went around the outside, watch Chase the last lap. Watch him rock. Watch him like where I landed on Ricky. Right there, they changed that section. Watch when he jumps off that tabletop. See how he like gasses it, like full on, like mugging him. See how he charges the whole last lap. Dude was sending a message, people. It was FedEx, UPS. They were on holiday. It was urgent shipping. He was sending a message. And I think that message was that he wanted those guys to know, like, I'm legit. Like, I'm legit. I'm not tired. I'm faster on the track where everybody's uncomfortable. And I know you don't like this place, Eli, whatever. I'm beating your ass today, right? And I'm not just doing, I did last weekend. And maybe you could say I should have done it the weekend prior because I've been right there. But I'm beating your ass today and you know it. And I want you to definitely know it. And that's what you saw. So when you watch Chase ride that last lap, dude's up 10 seconds. He was riding with authority. So that second moto, that authority transpired even bigger to where it was like, I can do this calmly. And I know I can. The person between the first moto was like, damn, I'm hyped. Second person was like, I know I can. Problem? Can't you see a problem? I mean, it ain't a problem for me. It ain't a problem, but it might be a problem for him. And I don't want to harp on this because Eli is Eli. He is the alien. He is the 250, 450 Supercross outdoor champion. He's everything. So I ain't writing the dude off. I'm just saying that it's a little tougher than it was. And I think he didn't break homeboy. The homeboy's fighting back on the level. And I think Chase sees that light at the end of the tunnel and says, you know what? I might have to wake up looking at them lights because I'm on the hospital bed. You know how they got those lights above you when you're like, damn, I'm here. Where am I at? I'm in the hospital because I'm looking at lights. I think Chase is willing to look at the lights, people. He willing to go night-night to wake up to the lights. And Eli ain't. Eli want to keep his vision clear. Well, you might have to look at lights, Eli. You might have to wake up in the dark to wake up, see the lights, to beat this dude because this dude's willing to do it. And that's what I see. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, hey, he's a champion. He don't like this track. He was struggling. Chase loves this track. There were ruts. And we'll just see what happened at Buzz Creek. That's what you can say. And if I'm Coker and I'm all the other people, that's what I'm telling him. And Eli's probably believing that himself. But a little birdie told me that he was pretty pissed after that. He was a little upset. So you can tell yourself all you want. But in the back of your mind, when you go to sleep, you might slap little Johnny across the face because you're like, God damn it, daddy got beat today. Daddy, there goes that man. And that man was Chase Sexton. He went flying past me and I couldn't do nothing about it. But that's it. Hey, look at this shiny number one plate Supercross champ. You know, Supercross champ. So we'll see. I'm excited to call it, but I saw a lot this weekend and y'all did too. But if you start breaking it back down, you can go back. Like when somebody last time passed Tomac like this, all right, well, it's been a while. When has Tomac passed Chase when Chase was up front, both motos this year? I'll wait for it. Because it hasn't happened. So neither one of these guys have passed the other one, like when they're up front. Like when they're battling like this, not just, okay, he's in the lead, you pass him. No, I'm talking about run the guy down on there and pass him the way he did. And I would say both motos because, you know, at one point, Tomac pulled out a little bit, but it was just a different feel and then just jet pass him. You know, Chase was winning Millville. That ain't the same, bro. Ain't the same. They were up there. They were super close. Tomac passed him and he, you know, held him off, you know, cut him off, whatever. No, Chase like passed him and then like Ricky Carmichael's my ass. I just like he was there and then he wasn't. And then you realize, God damn, he was champagneing it, talking to Scott Taylor. And you just crossed the checkered flag. You know, you're like, I was just here. That's what happened. So, but it again, wasn't just that. You know, so go back and just figure out when that happened again and that kind of win. But just figure out also, like I said, watch when Chase rides. Like watch what he's doing, how he's riding on there at the end of the race. He already had this race won. And you would say, a guy that's thrown away more races than, VHS tape, you would think that he would just calm down, just finish this thing out, because he clearly knew Eli was giving up. Like, not giving up, but he already had him covered. Nah, dude was riding with authority. He was trying to put his stamp on that thing. So the way he was riding with anger, people, he had animosity. And it shows. So that, to me, is a belief that, like, he ain't worried. And he's trying to send a message, and the message was sent. So we'll see if he answers it and sends that back. Because you're going to have to at Buzz Creek, because otherwise it's over. Tomac's going to start racing behind him, even when he's up front like he did the first moto and second moto. It doesn't work that way, people. These motos are way too long, and somebody's way fast enough. So that's what I saw. So I don't know where all that went, but it went somewhere. And you know where we have to go, because it's. I almost feel like this one was a special one, but it's not special because it just happened 2 weeks ago. And I just think, like, at the end of the day, sometimes when you win. And sometimes when you win, you won. Like, sometimes you won. What does that mean? I don't know. But what it means at this show, and for everybody else out there, and I know for Chase Sexton, I know he wants it. And he was winning it, like, he was like Incredible Hulk. He was mad because he wanted to get that neck burn. Hit it for a call.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
Neck was on fire. Neck was on fire. You know when a guy's feeling it too, when he comes on a podium, he's like, yeah. And I said it a few weeks ago. I was like, look at everybody else's face on the Yamaha crew. Like, they were like, oh, we know what's up. We know what's up. They were calm. They were calm after this race, but dude pulled off his hat. He had them blonde hair, even blonder than what it was. I didn't know what it was. I was like, damn, is it like a old Western movie that the field has no water for a while? And that thing just, it's light of fire, just blows up. Nah, it was just blonde hair. Dude was like thugging, Django style right there. Congratulations, Chase Sexton. Gave that boy business this weekend. So we'll see what happens. Next weekend's going to be on. I get to get there and call it. So, but we're going to talk about 250 class. Where? The Far East Coast. And Mr., I'm going to go ahead and say it, motocross American superstar, Mr. Justin Cooper. They got something done. But let's go back. We'll be right back, people. When I'm watching the 250 class, and this weekend we had, Jet Lawrence, he's been, faster, better than rest. And it's been the Lawrence Ford shows all year. And I think with the break off, and Joe Shimoda has been actually coming along. Like the last few weekends ago at Washougal, he was riding good, got him a moto or was up there competing with those guys. I think Hunter won that moto, but he's been up there. The speed has grown. And then same thing with Justin Cooper. I do believe actually Justin could have won both motos this weekend. He crashed the first moto, but he actually rode good, too, and obviously won the second one. But all year it's been about Jet and Hunter, mainly Jet hasn't been pushed into situations. And now I talked about at Washougal, I'm like, dude, the kid rides in the future, everything he thinks about is down the road. Well, this weekend, everything he was thinking about was right in front of him. And you could tell, like, this was the first race this year and outdoors that I would say he lost his train of thought in the big picture of, the things that allowed him to get his points lead. He wouldn't take the bait, like I would like to say. He's a kid, so it was, we were all talking about, like, how mature that is. By not taking the bait. Well, this weekend, Mr. 401 phone book, Nick Romano, hometown race rookie, you can tell he was giving it to him. Like, he was flustering Jet. And I think it was the fact that he saw this three-digit rider. He might not even know who the guy was that was, like, up there racing him. And you can tell certain rookies when they come in, like, Francisco, like, Ryder D, he was there. He racing. He gets close. You know what? Look, man, I'm here. I'm getting my feet wet. Well, this dude out here, like, he was actually, like, competing. Like, he wanted to show that he's the next guy. And so you can tell by the way he raced him, like, he cut him off. Like, well, like, you ain't going to pass me. And I think that the fact that Shimoda was up front, and the fact is that Jet Lawrence saw, and he knew how difficult this track was to, like, make up that much time and ride it. He was trying to get around Nick, and he was getting flustered. And you could tell when he did it, like, he started making mistakes, overriding it, and then he hit the ground. It's the first time this year he's done that. And it's the first time he didn't look past and just kind of, like, picked his way and tried to make the pass. Well, he got lucky because he almost looked at lights too. He almost looked at the lights. And I ain't talking about the credits for the race. I'm talking about the doctor lights. You know, he was getting there, and you could just tell, like, that was that kid, you know, like, cool, throwing donuts, like, whatever, slapping his brother on high five. Like, hey, how cool was that? When brother was about to beat his ass because he was so mad. That was that. I mean, it wasn't like it was with Hunter a few weeks ago when he was trying to kill old homeboy, when he was like that kind of crazy, but it was just a different. He just lost train of thought. So anyway, he hit the ground multiple times this weekend. And usually when you got a guy that's leading the points, they usually don't make, you know, they might throw away one moto like he did the first moto. The fact is he came back and did it again was like, you know, he was just having an off day. You know, he threw out the hand guards twice, same one. It was all messed up. And so it was a tough day for him. Did he even make the podium? Yeah, the first time off the podium, but it's suspected. He's a rookie, and I'm not a rookie. He's young, and we all got to have those races. Even that year I won 23 out of 24 motos. Well, the one I didn't win, it was a bad one. So as I talked about before, the bike leaning over and the traction, you know, you want to be lean, kind of have traction or straight up and down so you can, you know, trust the front end. Well, Jet's coming in here, and it looks like you would say he just starts watching the front end, which he does. But what you see when you start slowing it down, he's starting to hit, and his front wheel actually starts coming off. Like, he hit braking bumps on there. He's leaned over. His front wheel's starting to pop up over there, and he actually catches the side of a rut on there, and he starts sliding. The front end starts sliding. It starts pushing like a shopping cart you're trying to turn on. Little front end, like it's doing this number, and it starts pushing like you're trying to turn on ice in a car. And then finally it's pushing, it hooks up. And boy, that moment right there, like, probably saved his championship, because what he does is when it hooks, normally what happens is your hand blows off. And so all of a sudden you get all that G-force. And when that front end's pushed down and it's unloading, you're laying on the handlebars because you're about to flip over. Your hands are off. Hits you in the chest, and it pushes you, and it knocks you forward. What Jet does, and I don't know if it's on purpose or whatnot, it's probably happening too fast, but he holds on long. Like, he holds on, so when that bike kicks him up, you know, he's actually still holding the handlebars, which saves him from getting flung off. And you can see him, he's over the handlebars, he's holding on, and that's what allows him to ride and kind of slide out on the front end and down. Normally, when you see that stuff, they call it the big high side, is when a guy gets hit in the stomach and their hands are off, because normally front end goes around too fast and it just snaps out of your hand. You can't hold on to it. And then you get flung off. And then what Jet was doing, he was holding on. So it saved the title. And he was like, God damn, dude. Like, you know, brother was like, I don't know. I hear a ticking noise in my bike. I don't know. Like, nah, that was Jet pooping his pants on there. Cause you might got hit with a turd. I don't know. That scared me. And I'm sitting here watching it, but, you know, from down under, almost got shot. But it was, you know, that was all because of what was happening in front of him. And Far East Coast was so far out front that it was like he was making him get nervous. And when he gets nervous, when people get nervous, they start doing things they normally don't do. People start shooting in the dark, and they might not realize, but they just shot Cujo, and Cujo got shot. But nonetheless, it was because the ghost of the Far East Coast, the Mr. Smooth, what is he, like, Japan criminal? Like, because he's smooth. Like, he was Shimoto. I don't know, people. All I know is Joe is on another level. Ain't your average Joe no more. So we got to come up with a different name. We have to come up with a different name because he's going to get something that he's only had once this year. And we put it in a different language, but this time we're just going to keep it authentic. Mr. Fire East Coast Joe Schmoder, hit him for a call.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck was on fire. And the way he did it, he knew this time where he was. He actually was like, I'm adding up. It was looking suspect. It was looking suspect, but for down unders, yeah, one guy ticking, one guy flying, the other guy just cooping off, like hanging with Mr. Cooper. Nobody was doing that. And he was just doing his thing, just smooth, 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 all the way up to the overall. So Joe, second one, the only one. Them far East Coast and them from down unders been winning everything in that class. And he did it again. So congratulations, Mr. Not Your Average Joe, again. All right, people, that was it. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, hell, all of us favorite time. But first, commercial break. We'll be right back with Stews and Thews. All right, we back, people. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Hell, a lot of people's favorite times. Stewed and stewed. So, up first, it's going to be easy because we've been off. And I always say we just get ease into it. And if you win the race, it's a default. Sometimes more defaults be prettier than others. But nonetheless, you get it. And then so, I'm going to have to give it to this guy, even though I don't think it was a default. I think it was deserved this weekend. And he already got one before. And he's going to have to get it again. Mr. Far East Coast Joe Schmoder. Cole, are you on it? Hit it for him.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
I just wanted to make sure people he was on because we just came back from commercial break. I want to make sure he's still here. And he's still here. Mr. Joe Schmoder. You did it, bro. You're the only one, which says a lot. Not name Hunter, Jet. That's one. Yeah, I know Cooper won. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. And I should get him. You can get a div. Yeah, because you only won one moto. You know, so you're going to get it. Maybe you Captain USA still say, why are we even talking about it, people? Nobody's talking about it, but hey, maybe I'm just talking about it. Hopefully that solved that issue. Looked good this weekend, but he didn't get the full one. So Joe Schmoder, Mr. Far East Coast, you're still. And of course, the next one, Chase Sexton. Now, when I say Eli does things that like, it's stupendous and it sends messages like a stew. Or you get two stews or whatever. This is what this is. Like, you just can't give this guy a regular stew. Not like he just can't. Because it wasn't like, okay, he won. Like, okay, they were close. Nah. Okay, Tomac got a bad start and he passed them. Nah. I mean, he passed Tomac and Tomac was like, mama, there goes that man. And that man was Chase Sexton. He didn't know. And then he was trying to relive in the second moto like, maybe I can do a stupendous job with bringing back Mr. 2002 James Stewart Chad Reed's thing and Unadilla. Not to bring it up, but to bring it up because that's what it looked like. And it was like, no, Chase is like, you can let me go past you, just whatever. Or just rode around you on the outside. You should have took my ass out, but you didn't. So that's a wrap for you. You could try to do that, but it didn't. It didn't happen. So I just said I didn't three times, whatever, how many times, but I just didn't do it because Chase Sexton didn't let it happen. And what he didn't let happen was beast mode. I don't even think he claims him as beast mode. Chase Sexton just gave it to Tomac, the business. And all I'm going to say, people, is that things might be a little different. Things just might be different. You can figure out what the hell that means. I don't even know what that means. We'll figure it out next week when we show this show. But I just think that was a message sent. And the message sent was Chase Sexton giving Tomac the business. And when he did it, he was angry. I'm going to have to put this boy on stew list because the way he was riding, he was angry. Not like a Ken Roczen angry that he's mad because the dirt's there. Well, I mean, it is a motocross shot. They bring it. No, it ain't that mad. It's like not confused, man. He was angry. And he was angry because that red plate's been off his bike, but it's back. So Chase Sexton, you a stew. And then I don't know, Cole. You said Mr. 411, Ramon, that like, you know, giving Jet the crash. I do say he was the reason why Jet didn't finish the way he finished this weekend. I would say that. He opened up the phone book, realized there were a lot of numbers in Mr. 411, or 411 didn't give him his number, whatever it was. Going to charge him all that money just to make a phone call. whatever it was, he was on the ground. So I could say, yeah, you are a stew, but we don't like to give people stews for causing other people problems. But good job around it. Like, hey, you're at hometown, you're back. You've been fast since the first race, but I haven't seen you since the first race. So maybe you were out throwing out phone books, whatever it was, but you were back. So good to see that. And then let's give Ferrandez and let's give Malcolm. They were back. Some people were backer than others, and some people were back to the blackness. They were back. It was good to see them back. Some people were like, damn, I'm here, but I ain't here. And then, but you on this list. So we'll give all y'all stew. Anybody that finished the list, y'all stew. So that was that list. Chase Sexton, Far East Coast. And that boy was mad. So Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because Chase rode around you on the outside again. Pissed off because you couldn't do nothing about it. Pissed off because you're like, damn, I'm going to wait for tomorrow. My bike was not messed up. But in the back of your head, you know you are pissed off. Dude. So, Tomac. Now, I know. He was cool, calm, collected. And like, maybe I'm not even saying he's stupid. And originally, when I thought about this list, was like 2 seconds ago, I wasn't going to put him on this list. And maybe he shouldn't be on this list. But I think he's going to realize, maybe not this weekend, maybe not next weekend, maybe never for his hopes, all of us, maybe never, that this weekend was a big turning point. And he's going to be pissed if he realizes that. Because he's going to realize, like, damn, like that Washougal second motor was bigger than I thought. That Washougal second motor with Chase Sexton getting that overall and writing on that number one plate and then going in Unadilla after his 2 weeks off and him passing me both motos, like that was a big deal. Even though I was like, I'll wait for the second moto, and the second moto happened and the same thing happened like the first moto. That was a big deal. So maybe you're going to be stewed in the future. So we'll just put that on the future stewed for Eli Tomac. So I don't know how we can do that, Cole. You can figure that part out. Future stewed Eli, possibly. Question mark. There it is. Next would be Jet Lawrence. Now, the kids, like, is he stewed that he crashed? I don't know. I don't think so. Like, his brother was stewed. He's still mad at homeboy for pulling them tear-offs and not having the tear-offs and cutting them off. He's still mad at that. So I don't think he's stewed like that. I think he's just frustrated that, you know, he couldn't win again. And not only he didn't win, he didn't get on the podium. So that sucks. But I don't think he really stewed. I think he was happy for Mr. Far East Coast Joe Shimoda. So, he ain't stewed. I don't know. Hell, future stewed Tomac. That's a new one. Default stewed Ken Roczen. That's a new one. Because that's about all that. Because, you know, I'm stewed for not being on the get list? No, not really. Because, you know, I keep it real, people. And maybe the show needs to stop and not go anymore because I'm going in a different direction. But just to close it up. So there's your list, people. I know it's not your normal list, but I think these guys were happy to get out of it. Unadilla was different. It was different. It was a lot different than normal. I think some guys might be, relieved on there that they finished the motor. But I don't think anybody stewed. Like, they can wish they can go back and redo what they just did. And maybe Chase would. But that would mean he'd be on the stew list. Like, stew list. He'd be happy. So, everybody else, I think they're happy that it's over with. And they get to move on to Bud's Creek. Where, you know, hey. The scrub was back in the day. Well, anyways. Things might happen at Bud's Creek. Nonetheless, if this happens again, like this weekend, then yes. The future stew will be coming to reality and a present stew. But until then, just like everybody else, we'll have to wait to see. All right, people, that was from round 9 from Unadilla, where you have Mr. Far, Far, Far East Coast do his thing. Joe Shimoda, great, great, great Joe. Great Joe. Not your average Joe, no mo. And then you have from over here, I don't even know where they state, Indiana, Illinois, something that starts with an I, from Chase Sexton, going beast mode on the beast. Mama, there goes that man. That's what Tomac said. And Daddy, he's going to have to retool the factory and come back out and figure out, is he willing to look at the lights? Is he willing to look at the lights, people? And then we'll find out. But we'll find out next weekend. Until then, I'll see you guys this weekend. And then I'll see you back here next Tuesday. Have a good weekend. And make sure you tune in. That was it. Round 9 from Unadilla, New York. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.